I join in the announcements already made to express my personal appreciation for your presence tonight. It's good to see you, and I'm glad to be with you. Good to see the Rader family here, three generations of them. Great. Donnie, good to see you again, your son. Donnie's a good friend of mine, has been for a good number of years. Good to have all of you. If you're visiting, we're glad to see you. We appreciate your concern about spiritual matters. For just a few minutes, I want to talk to us tonight about things which are temporary. The majority of things that we have to deal with are things that are temporary. There are some things that are also eternal. As a basis for the study, I'm reading from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. There are a number of things that this book catalogs for us as being temporary. I'd like to catalog for some of those for us tonight. The first thing I want to mention to us is that this volume teaches that the law of Moses was temporary. When God put it in force, he never intended for it to be lasting. In Romans 7 and 6, the apostle points out that we're delivered or discharged from the law. If you're discharged from something, you're no longer under its rules and regulations. Say you're in the Navy and you get a discharge. You're no longer under the rules and regulations of the United States Navy. Right in the Galatians. In Galatians in chapter 3, the apostle made some arguments about this particular point. Verse 19. Wherefore then serveth the law? Then he answers the question. It was added because of transgressions of sin, till. You have to underscore that word till in your Bible. That word till tells us that it's temporary in its nature. For an example, if I were to ask you, what about feeding my dog till? If I say no more, I'm not going to give her to you till next week, till I get back. And so that's the way the word's used here, to emphasize that the Mosaical law was added till something would take place. And that is till the seed should come. And that seed is identified in verse 16 as being Christ. And so the law was until Christ came. Matthew 5, 17 and 18, Jesus talked about it. He said he didn't come to destroy it, but to fulfill it. When you fulfill something, it's over, it's done. For an example, say you got a contract to build a house for a family. And you finish the job, you say, I want my final payment. I fulfill the contract. It's done. It's over. That's why the word's used here. It's fulfilled. In fact, he said in verse 18 that not one jot or tittle would pass until all of it would pass. And so the law did not go away in parts, but when it went, it all went at the same time. A jot or tittle is like you make an I and the dot over that I, that's the jot. A tittle, you don't make a T, the cross, the tittle. The smallest infraction of the law would not disappear until all of it went. And so the Mosaical law was temporary in its nature to restrain God's people from so much sinning. But there's a second thing I want to talk to us about that was temporary. That is, the apostles of the Lord were temporary. God never did intend for them to go on and on and on. One of the qualifications for an apostle, as you may remember, there had to be an eyewitness of the Lord's resurrection, according to the book of Acts chapter 1 and in verse 22. And we have no apostles today because nobody is qualified. They've done their work, fulfilled the responsibility, and we no longer have any. But a third thing I want to mention to you that is temporary in its nature, and that is this earth as we know it. It's not going to last forever. We may plan and we may think we're going to be here from now on. But that's not the case. Come with me to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. How the apostle points out how temporary it is. The day of the Lord, that's talking about the end of time, will come as a thief in the night. That means unexpected. You see, a thief doesn't knock on your door and in the afternoon say, get ready about 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to break in your house. He doesn't do that, does he? He comes unannounced. And that is simply saying the Lord's coming is going to be that way, as a thief in the night. What's going to happen when that happens? In the which. By the way, words are important in this book, like the in the which. That really calls our attention to what's going to happen in the day of the Lord. What's going to happen? The heavens will pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that therein. What's going to happen to them, Peter? They shall be burned up. And so when you read that passage, you can quickly see and understand that this earth as we know it is temporary. Everything about us will one day be consumed and there'll be no more. But again, as you catalog things that are temporary, there's a place called Hades, the part of the departed spirits, the realm of where the dead are. The King James Version makes it a little difficult sometimes because it translates that word Hades, hell, doesn't it? A good American standard will straighten that out for you. Instead of the word hell, it's the word Hades. Every individual who has died since day one through today are in the Hadean world, the place of departed spirits. And there are two sections of that group. There's those who are righteous and those who are unrighteous. There's a great gulf between the two, and those who would pass from one cannot go. No transportation in the Hadean world. When Jesus died, he went to Hades in the book of Acts 2 in verse 27. And the scriptures talk about that in the book of 2 Peter 2 and verse 4 when he talked about the Hadean world. It says this, for if God spared not the angels of sin, but cast them down to Hades and delivered them unto chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. It's a place reserved till the judgment comes. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. When you read in the book of Revelation chapter 20, when John was able to see beyond the time, he saw the dead and the small stand before God. And that's everybody, by the way. And the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now watch this statement, verse 13. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades. See, Hades is temporary. Delivered up the dead which in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. So the Hadean world is a temporary place. And once the end comes and the Lord returns, there will be no more Hades. It'll be emptied out. So it's temporary in its nature. But as you think about things that are temporary, I'd call to your attention that spiritual gifts were temporary. And when you study about the spiritual gifts, you need to read three chapters. You need to read 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, where it lists the gifts. You need to read chapter 14 that discusses their regulation, how they're regulated. And you need to read chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians to see how long they were to last. Those three chapters. If you don't, you'll never get it together. You do know how many gifts there were, right? In 1 Corinthians 12, he begins with the first verse. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. The Lord wants us to know about them. He doesn't want us to be ignorant about that. And the only way that we're going to keep ourselves from being ignorant about such things is to read and study this sacred volume to know what it teaches. There are nine of these gifts, and they're listed in 1 Corinthians 12, beginning with verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit. And he lists these gifts. By the way, all of these gifts are supernatural. They're not normal things. They're beyond the norm. Take, for example, knowledge. It's not knowledge that came by study, but knowledge that came without study. Supernatural in its nature. Here they are. First, wisdom, knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongue speaking, and the interpretation of tongues. You ought to underscore those. Need to be familiar with them. Paul said, don't be ignorant about that. And so we need to study so we won't be in that category. Now, these gifts were given by the laying on of hands of an apostle, the only way they came. And you can learn that from reading Acts chapter 8 and Acts 19 when the apostles did the laying on of hands. Philip was preaching in Acts 8. Folks were baptized and he didn't have the power to lay on hands because he was not an apostle. Apostles came down and laid hands on them, and they received these gifts. Acts 19, the Ephesians, who were converted and became the church at Ephesus, they had hands laid on them by the apostles. Only an apostle could do that, which means that once the apostles are gone, and we've already learned that they were temporary, we don't have the gifts because there's nobody to display them, nobody to lay hands on. Although there are people who think they can, the Bible denies the thing. Well, what about these gifts? Temporary, to keep the church pure so that no truth. And say the apostles came into this town and they converted all of us who are here tonight. Now, they could not say, go out in the chariot and bring in Bibles for all these people so they can read and know what the truth is. The Bible had not been written then. It was in men called earthen vessels, the apostles. And so they lay hands on individuals, men, who would know the truth and could teach it, no error, and all those kinds of things. And they might go somewhere else and do the same thing. And so that was the purpose of it, to keep the church pure and going and growing until something else took place. Chapter 14, you need to read that, and when you read it, underscore the word like understand, understandeth, which means that these gifts had to be understood. Somebody come into your territory and they didn't understand the language, and there were those that spoke different languages or tongues, and that's what a tongue was, a language, Acts 2. And somebody could interpret, otherwise they had to be quiet. It regulates those gifts. But in chapter 13, he gives the duration of them. These gifts are not going to last forever, right, Paul? Well, let's see what he says about it. Come with me to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 10. Well, verse 8 first. Charity never faileth. Whether they be, now watch these things. He lists three gifts of the nine in verse 8. Prophecy, tongues, and knowledge. Look what he says is going to happen to them. Verse 8, 1 Corinthians 13. Prophecies, they shall what? Continue? No. Fail. You know what the word fail means? What about tongues? They're going to cease. What about knowledge, this supernatural knowledge? It's going to vanish away. You ought to underscore those three things. He's saying that these gifts would fail, cease, and vanish away. Isn't that simple? If you can understand those words, you won't have any trouble with thinking that these gifts are still in process tonight. They're temporary, they're gone, and we have none of them. Very simple, very easy to understand, isn't it? But another temporary thing I want to call to our attention in our study tonight is that the reign of Jesus is temporary. There are those who don't believe Christ is reigning yet. He is. In fact, come with me to 1 Corinthians 15 this time. 1 Corinthians 15, we'll begin with verse 24. Then cometh the end. Talking about the end of the world, the end of time. When he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. By the way, that's a good reference, a good text. When you talk to folks about, has the kingdom been set up yet? There are folks who think when the Lord comes, he's going to set it up. Paul didn't think that. He said he's going to deliver it up. And if you know the difference in set up and deliver up, you won't have any trouble with that. Deliver it up to God. Lord, what are you going to do? He shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Now watch verse 25. I'm in 1 Corinthians 15. He must reign. What's the next word? Till. Same word we used a moment ago about the law. Till. That shows it's temporary. He's going to reign till when? Till he puts all enemies under his feet. Well, watch that. Watch verse 26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. What's that saying to us? It's saying that the reign of Christ is going on now, but it's going to be in. It's temporary in its nature. And we need to understand the importance and the value of that. When the Lord comes, there won't be any day. They'll be resurrected. And so when the resurrection comes, at the end, Christ's going to give up his reign and be subject unto God the Father. So the reign of Christ is temporary, isn't it? He's reigning now on the right hand of God as King of kings and Lord of lords. Revelation 17 and verse 14. One other thing, the lesson's yours. When you think about things that are temporary in their nature, the Bible teaches that man's earth life is temporary. We're not here forever. Now, sometimes we may act like it. We may think we're going to be here from now on. But that's not the case. The living know that they shall die. Ecclesiastes 9. For in Adam all die. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22. Paul wrote the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5 and 1 and said, "For we know." Paul, what is it you know? That the earthly house of this tabernacle will be dissolved. There's a building made, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. What a passage. What value that is for us. Man's earth life is a few days, Job said, Job 14, 1 and 2. Cometh forth like the grass, the flower, and is cut down. Very simple, isn't it? Life is like a shadow, like a post, like a weaver shuttle. They work so fast you can't hardly see them. And he said life is like that. Life at its longest, very short. The psalmist uttered in Psalm 89, 47, how short my time is. How long do you plan to live, by the way? Have you signed a lease on life? I kind of doubt it. The living know that they shall perish. And so in light of that, the Hebrew writer said, it's appointed once unto men to die. And then comes the judgment. Now, one of the psalmists said in Psalm 9 in verse 12, so teach us to number our days. The best thing that we can do in thinking about temporary things is to be ready for when this earth life shall come to a close. Remember the little parable in Matthew 25 and the wise and the foolish virgins? You know the difference in those two groups? One word. Ready. Five were wise and five were foolish in that the foolish didn't make proper preparation. They tried to borrow oil. You can't borrow preparation. Who'd you borrow it from? I don't know if anybody has any to spare, do you? You have to make your own. And so they went to make arrangements. And while they were gone, the Bible says the door was shut. The sad thing about that, it was never to be opened again. It'd be sad to be on the outside, wouldn't it? At the end. And I'm impressed with a little passage in Matthew 25 and 10, which says, they that were ready went in. What about those who were not ready? You got it. They didn't go in. And you won't either. And so I need to be impressed with the fact that In light of all these temporary things, I can be ready for that which is to come. So can you. You've listened so well, and I appreciate that. But should you be in this audience tonight and you've never become a Christian, you never obeyed the gospel, you've heard it. Do you believe it? But better still, have you obeyed it? Someone says, how do you do that? Well, you've already done part of it. You've heard, right? The Bible teaches if you believe, you can be ready to repent of your sins. That's a change of your mind that results in a change of your life. That God commanded of all men everywhere, Acts 17:30. Like those on Pentecost who were taught the word, they asked, what must we do? And they were told to repent. That's one thing. After repentance comes a confession. It's not a confession of our sins, but a confession of our faith that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus said that in Matthew 10:32, didn't he? You remember the little conversion of the eunuch in Acts 8? When he said, here's water, what hindereth me to be baptized? And the preacher said, if thou believest, thou mayest. And you know what he said? You know what he confessed? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what you'll confess when you're baptized. And then Jesus himself said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The word and makes a good study. Try it sometime. Connects a lot of things together of equal importance. Repent and. Repent in what? Be baptized. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:60. What's baptism for? Is it necessary? Absolutely. Or Jesus wouldn't have said it. It's for the remission of your sins, past sins. It's to get into Christ, Galatians 3:27. That's the only way you get in. That's how you become a member of the church, baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians 12:13. And like Saul of Tarsus, baptized to wash away your sins. Or as Peter said, to be saved. 1 Peter 3:21. Have you done that? So simple, isn't it? You know how we're going to sing this invitation song in just a moment? To give you one more opportunity, this side of eternity, to obey the gospel, to be a Christian. And when you baptize, the Lord automatically will add you to his body, the church. You don't have to join anything. Acts 2:47. You can rise to walk in a new life, Romans 6:3 and 4. Take up the cross and follow him, Matthew 16. Be faithful unto death, Revelation 2:10. Be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, that one day heaven can be yours. 1 Corinthians 50:58. Maybe you've done that, but drifted away and want to come back and start all over. You can do that by repentance, confession, and prayer. Would you come while we sing?
You've been listening to Sermons from Westwood, a presentation of sermons presented at the Westwood Church of Christ in Tullahoma, Tennessee. If you have a question or comment about this sermon or any other Bible question, you can send an email to comment@westwoodcoc.com. That's comment@westwoodcoc.com. For more sermons like this one, you can find us on iTunes by searching for Sermons from Westwood or visit our website at westwoodcoc.com. Thanks for listening.